This program is brought to you by McGill University. Please visit us at www.mcgill.ca.
Imagine building a computer from scratch to study the brain. Now imagine that this is the 1970s, and you're doing this in Cuba, amid the long-running U.S. commercial embargo of that country. I'm Cynthia Lee, and today I'm in conversation with Pedro Valdez, the Cuban neuroscientist who was one of the first people in the world to use computers to analyze electrical brain activity. Pedro is in Montreal to share his insights with his collaborators here at McGill and its Montreal Neurological Institute. Welcome, Pedro.
Hello.
You're the vice director of the research at the Cuban Neurosciences Center, CNeuro, which began as one of the first groups in the world that used computers for the analysis of brain electrical activity. How did you come to head this prestigious center?
Well, it started out with the help of U.S. scientists. They donated in 1969 a special purpose computer, and we discussed together. I was very young at that time, 19, but we were very enthusiastic about the possibility of applying science to help people. And we picked brain disorders because they're so prevalent and so devastating. And computers were just emerging. So my friends in the U.S., they had the vision that computers would be essential for early diagnosis and even guiding treatment. We got the special purpose computer. Then due to something called the U.S. embargo, we weren't able to get computers. So we built one in 1970. And that's how we started.
So let's talk a little bit more about your work. Can you give us an idea about what neuroinformatics is?
Neuroinformatics is the means of storing the information of thousands and eventually millions of people about their brain in an organized way in which we can apply mathematical models to extract knowledge of how to understand the brain and treat brain disease. In this age of big data, the brain is the one that generates most data. It has much more data than the whole universe. It's our brain. I mean, that's the basis of our minds. And neuroinformatics is the infrastructure that will allow the gathering, organization, and use of this information about the brain to understand the brain and understand ourselves, but also to help people that have brain disorders.
Can you tell me exactly what you do in terms of aging, the aging population in Cuba?
Okay, we're trying to find biomarkers that identify people who are at highest risk for having down the road serious cognitive problems so that we can intervene. This is the Cuban experience, which is much better to do early detection and prevention than when things are really established. On the other hand, we're also working on developing programs with our Ministry of Health to give support to people who have cognitive problems, but especially to their caregivers, which is also important.
How can Cuba serve as a model for other countries, wealthier countries, in terms of their excellent health care?
I think that it is because precisely of this. It's having prevention and primary health care as the backbone of things. This can only be achieved, and I think we have things in common with the UK and Canada more than other countries, if there's not only a profit motive to medicine. Medicine cannot only be on a profit. If it goes through a profit, then attention and money is concentrated at the highest level, at the third level hospitals, and prevention isn't that profitable. So we know this about vaccines, for example. There's not much development of vaccines by huge pharma companies because it's not as profitable. However, that's what's going to avoid things like Zika or Ebola or dengue. We still have yellow fever and malaria in the world. We haven't solved these problems yet. And therefore, there has to be a substantial part that is not driven by a profit motive.
When I think about brain research and all the money and effort that's gone into it, it has come a long way. And yet, when we see people who suffer from diseases such as epilepsy, it seems that we have such a long way to go. Can you speak a bit about why that may be?
The problem is that there's a lot of money poured into brain research, but there's very little research in health systems. This has been identified by WHO and other organizations. So it's not enough to have products or things it is that might help people or detection methods, you have to be able to fit them into the health systems, which vary from one country to the other. So you can have excellent stuff, but it doesn't reach the people.
So it's a matter of bringing the knowledge translation to the people for their benefit.
There's not enough people working on this. There's not enough attention paid to this.
Tell me a little bit about the Cuban Brain Mapping Project and also the Human Brain Mapping Project, please.
Okay, so the Cuban Brain Mapping Project was precisely launched to try to bridge this gap. So as other brain projects, we've gathered data on brain images, clinical conditions, and so forth. But we've tried to include not only high-end imaging methods like MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, but also stuff that can be used, let's say, in a polyclinic or even in portable devices, which is, for example, the electroencephalogram. Now, by doing this jointly, we calibrate the, let's say, less expensive stuff, equipment or methods, with the high-end equipment. There's now about 8 or 9 international brain projects. The most famous one is one in Europe that had €1 billion. There's the Brain Project. Alan Evans is pushing for a Canadian Brain Project. And unfortunately, many of these brain projects do not take, they talk about helping people with disease, with the global, you know, impacting the global burden of disease, as it's called. But there's no provision for actually doing this. It's going to trickle down after decades. Now, the Cuban project has this in mind. The Canadian project, and this is something we share for many years, has this potential. We're thinking of that this has to be not only to produce knowledge, but also to change the quality of life of people and to prevent disease.
You've done so much and you continue to do so much. Tell me, please, Pedro, about the 3C project.
Okay, so the idea is to create an axis that is Cuba, Canada, and China. And I have set up a joint lab of Cuba, China, and that's going to be Canada too. And the work we've been doing for years with Alan, we now plan to extend it to 3 countries to show that an international cooperation based on neuroinformatics but towards preventive medicine can be done.
So please tell me about your parents. I understand your father was a medical doctor. How did they raise you? What values did they instill in you?
I always remember that they told me 2 things. One, that everybody was the same. I mean, we're all human beings. And second, that money is not the most important thing in the world. Our house, when you enter, we have a huge portrait of Einstein. There's a phrase by Einstein where he says that crisis, he says, it's a blessing. Because when you're not in crisis, you can stagnate. And it's a challenge. It may seem a problem to some people, but it generates creativity and it brings great solutions. So we have that at the entrance of the house.
You know, what are your biggest challenges or difficulties? What are your fears?
Well, to not have enough time to do everything I want to do, because basically to be able to train further generations that will continue the work, because what we have to do will not end with us. I mean, to solve the problems of the world regarding brain health, this will take several generations. So just as important as doing our work is training future generations that will be also motivated, not only for the pleasure of knowledge, but also helping people. I mean, this combination, and to do it effectively, because you could have noble sentiments, but not actually find the way to do it. And we have to train people to find the routes to benefit other people.
Thank you very much for coming to speak with us today.
Thanks for having me here.